Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. A certain man, Lazarus, was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was ill. So the sister sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son can be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was. After 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's return to Judea again." The disciples replied, "Rabbi, the Jewish opposition wants to stone you, but you want to go back?" Jesus answered, "Aren't there 12 hours in the day? Whoever walks in the day doesn't stumble because they see the light of the world, but whoever walks in the night does stumble because the light isn't in them." He continued, "Our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I am going in order to wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will get well." They thought Jesus meant that Lazarus was in a deep sleep, but Jesus had spoken about Lazarus's death. Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. For your sakes, I am glad I wasn't there, so that you may believe. Let's go to him." Then Thomas, the one called Didymus, said to the other disciples, "Let us go too, so that we may die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary after their brother's death. When Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world." After she said this, she went and spoke privately to her sister Mary. "The teacher is here, and he is calling for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. He hadn't entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were comforting Mary in the house saw her get up quickly and leave, they followed her. They assumed she was going to mourn at the tomb. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her crying also. He was deeply disturbed and troubled. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to cry. The Jews said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "He healed the eyes of the man born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied, and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite affirmations of faith is the phrase, "In life and in death, we belong to God." There is so much in that simple sentence: comfort, hope, certainty, belonging, ideas that ground us and, for me, allow me to live fully in an uncertain world. When facing challenges that seem to have no chance of a positive outcome, when I find myself having navigated a difficult situation, when I am not sure what might come next, I rely in my fundamental being on the notion that we belong to God. I suspect that it is the case, as it so often is in our journey of faith, that I rely on this fundamental belief more often in bad times than I do in good times, but it is a truth that is at the heart of our faith and life. So when we pick up this story of Jesus and his disciples and this family that he was friends with, that he loved, the two sisters and the brother, it's easy for us to forget that everything they did on foot. And so when a message was sent from Mary and Martha to Jesus to let him know that his friend Lazarus was ill and possibly on his deathbed, it was sent on foot. There wasn't even, there were no horses galloping along sending the messages. There were no telephones. There were no telegrams. It was people to people to people, a message sent, "Oh, are you going that way? Can you pass the message along? Oh, are you going on further? Oh, pass the message along." So there was no instant messaging. It took a while for the message to get to Jesus. And the story tells us that after he heard of the illness, he decided they would stay where they were for a couple of more days. And then he set his face toward his friends to meet them and greet them and comfort them. The disciples were anxious when he said, "This is where we're going," because he knew that there were people who were already planning for his death. They said, "Are you sure that's where you want to go?" And he said, "Yes." And so he turned and they went, but again, they were walking. And so Lazarus passed before he arrived. But we have this notion: we believe in life and in death. We belong to God. I have three friends whose children died at a young age, one as an infant, one as a young teen, and the third just as she was about to graduate from high school. And each of them, in his or her own way, has found a way to manage their grief. The most recent one was maybe 6 or 8 years ago. The longest one was maybe 15 years ago. And still, I know from talking with them that their grief is as fresh today as it was when it first happened. But they have learned how to manage and how to remember their children and affirm their lives in spite of their loss. Each of them lived with heartbreak and wondering, what could they have done differently? Could they have changed the outcome? Could they have prevented these deaths? But the deaths stemmed from birth defects, cancer, mental health issues, things that we can't fix, but that we wish we could. And I know that my friends live every day remembering in life and in death, we belong to God. I have at least one friend, and maybe others, who are working to overcome addictions, possibly to heroin, to alcohol, other drugs. And it's a challenge that she wrestles with every day. She knows it's a choice she has to make every day, sometimes many times in one single day, to not turn to using a drug to manage her feelings, her life. Every day she has to choose again and again. And we all probably know someone who has wrestled with something where they had to choose again and again and again to turn toward life and away from the things that drag us into darkness. And we wonder, because we love them, was there something we could do? Did we contribute to their difficult challenges? How could we help them be different? Could we have helped them prevent the path they chose? And in spite of all that, we say to ourselves, even in our discomfort and our heartbreak, we belong to God. Jesus is called to his friend's home. He gets there, but he doesn't hurry. His friend has already died. The family accuses him of being late. Jesus, if you had been here sooner, you could have done something. And you know, when we say something like that to people, we also mean, you don't really care about us. You've let me down. You've broken my heart. You could have been here sooner, but you chose something else. Jesus says, take me to where you have laid him. He weeps along the way with the people, not just the family, but the other mourners who are there. And people see in his weeping that he loved Lazarus, the one who died. They may have been surprised because he seemed to have not rushed to take care of him. So the accusations continue. You could have done something. You helped other people, that blind guy the other day. I know you could have saved him, says one of the man's sisters. Why weren't you here? And when we feel those kind of feelings, we remind ourselves. Jesus reminds us with his steady temperament, we belong to God. How many times in our own lives have we wanted things to be different than they really are? We have felt let down by those we love, betrayed even. How many times have we let other people down ourselves? Not taking action when we could, remaining silent when we could have spoken up. What happens then? How do we repair the breach? How do we prevent it from becoming a great chasm between us? How do we move on from being broken? From broken relationships, broken dreams? What do we do? Because that's what it felt like with Jesus and Mary and Martha. It's difficult to know what to do. Sometimes we just let it go and hope it will repair itself. Sometimes time heals and we're able to begin to rebuild relationships that seem to have been broken beyond repair. Sometimes we offer forgiveness or ask for forgiveness. Sometimes we find ourselves seeing the situation in a new way and realizing we were wrong and that there wasn't really the amount of betrayal that we felt in the heat of a moment. Sometimes we are changed. The outcome becomes different and new, and we understand the world in a new way. We have clearer eyes to see. We have an experience of the work of the Spirit, and we remember that in life and in death, we belong to God. No one expects Jesus to do anything about Lazarus when they get there to that cave hewn into the side of a wall, of a hill, of a mountain, with the stone rolled in front of it. No one expects anything. They know it's too late. It's been 4 days. He was late. He was held up. The sisters have given up. They are angry. They're not sure if faith is even the right thing to feel in that moment. And yet they go together. They go to comfort Jesus in his grief. The crowd is there to see what will happen. And then Jesus says, "Roll away the stone." Roll away the stone. And in spite of all their thinking that nothing can happen, that it's going to smell really bad, they do it. The tomb is opened, and Jesus calls out to Lazarus, and he walks out into the crowd. In life and in death, we belong to God. Just as those bones were raised up, as the prophet Ezekiel spoke, just as new life came into them with the breath of the Holy Spirit, so Lazarus is raised up. Just as new life can be breathed into each of us in those moments when we feel lost and alone and broken, new life can be breathed into us. When we read about these miracles, you know, our skeptical selves rise up and say, "That can't be." But whether it happened or it didn't happen exactly the way we read about it, there is a truth in the heart of these stories that God does not leave us. God breathes life into us time and time again in the moments when we feel most cut off and forsaken. We cannot escape the long reach of the love God has for us. Whether we are dead or alive, we are in the grip of God's grace. That's good news for all of us. Our shortcomings, our addictions, our strengths, our hopes, our fears, they do not get in the way of our belonging. And since we belong, we are free to love and to be loved. What a gift we have received. Let us give thanks to God that indeed we do belong. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.